Ladies and gentlemen, I assume Joy is ready here. She'd be saying something on text chat. I'm really very proud to present Joy Jackson, the director of the American Radio Theater, and she has a special guest here to interview, and I'll let her introduce him and interview him, and we're very honored to have him here this evening. So I give you at this time Joy Jackson.
Hi guys, this is Joy. I guess the Control L did work, so I'm locked on. Now, lots of chat room folks have listened to REN, and I'll bet after we get done with our interview, I'm sure you guys will have something that you've always wanted to ask and didn't know who to ask it of. So I've got Jim Dolan here, and he is REN in my opinion. Jim was concerned that people would want to know details behind the old-time radio shows, which he doesn't know, and I know y'all know more about that than even I do. So instead, we're going to focus on REN and where it came from, how it works, where he gets the programs that he broadcasts, and what's coming up. So Jim, you've been in radio for quite a while. How did you get into radio?
Well, a number of years ago, Joy, I was involved in production of radio. It goes all the way back to high school, really. We had a high school radio station, which is still in town, in Seattle here, where we're broadcasting from. KNHC C89, I believe they're on the web now, too. Who isn't? But we started out there. We did production, worked for some other radio stations, did advertising work.
Are you talking about Kevin? Is Kevin part of this?
Kevin Clark was originally part of REN.
I'm just trying to figure out who the we are here.
Yeah.
Or is it the royal we?
It's sometimes I think, you know, after all the jobs I've been doing out there, I'm established myself as a we.
Okay.
But no, Kevin Clark has been involved in station relations. Kevin Mayland. We have a number of people that are involved in that.
Okay. But... But you started way back in high school, huh?
Yes.
Long time ago.
A lot of yakking into mics.
Were you mostly involved in doing DJ stuff? I mean, announcer stuff?
Not so much the DJ stuff, but more of the continuity material, the station announcements, news reading, that kind of thing, and some light technical things. So,
but you didn't have to write any of that, right?
I did do some writing and did do some DJ stuff, I must admit. Although, as you know now, I'm not working in this field. So draw your own conclusion.
So I know the radio enthusiasts of Puget Sound, the club, the old-time radio club in Seattle, started in 1991. Were you part of that at that point, or did you come in later than that?
I came in later. It was several years after reps began. And I believe I saw that in the newspaper. It was a nice article.
For maybe the showcase, or
it was just an article on the fact that reps existed and that they were meeting up there at the Queen Anne Library.
There weren't very many of those articles.
No, but it doesn't. It does not take many to get the job done. I was very impressed by how a newspaper can promote this kind of a hobby.
So you moved from being involved with radio in high school, and I know in 95 is when REN started.
Mm-hmm.
How did you come up with the idea of being involved in that sort of endeavor?
Well, I've been a fan of radio in general pretty much all my life. I actually had a little radio station when I was seven in the basement.
Whoa.
And then we acquired a somewhat more powerful radio station without accompanying license, which leads to some difficulties, which I did find myself in. And corrected my ways and got into the production end of it and have been a good kid since. But I was interested in drama radio because I'd known the history of radio. And, you know, we've done the modern stuff. I did a lot of work on that. So, you know, I think there's a place on radio for drama. Most program directors today do not agree with us, but I think it's... Well, television came along and kind of it took the air out of the radio for this kind of performance. But I thought, you know, we should be doing this on the radio. and we have all these programs. Once I found out that there was a large collection of shows out there, I figured, well, hey, what better place to have this than on the radio? So I decided to do something about it. And our early organization, we set up REN to originally put drama programming in a format similar to television, make it available to radio reading services around the country, so they could use it as regular programming and in a series of format, just as it's like TV Land. If those of you who are familiar with that, you know, we're a radio version of TV Land, basically. Or are they the version of us? I think OTR came first, so I think we should take the credit here. But actually, no, we came after them. So we did that with the radio reading services, and it proved very popular.
So you started with the one in Seattle?
We did it with Evergreen Radio Reading Service, yes. And they were at the time on our public television station here, KCTS, which has a large range, courtesy of our being close to the Canadian border here in Seattle. There's not a lot of other big cities in the area, so we have so they relay their signal over east of Washington with another transmitter in the Yakima area, and then they send their signal up to Canada, where it gets on the cable system and goes and the satellite, and pretty much goes all over that part of Canada, BC, up into the Yukon. It's really quite a spread.
Does it still do that?
I believe it does. And Channel 9 on their pledge drives, we all know about those.
Right.
But they...
They always have a Canadian component to it.
Well, it's so important there that that they actually have Canadian offices up in Vancouver and Victoria. And I think that they get half of their listener money from them.
Because we have some Canadians that come into the chat room.
Ah.
Devin isn't here tonight, but Robert Just is, and he's from the eastern part of Canada.
Oh, I see. But now the REN program originally was being carried on Evergreen Radio Reading Service, which was on the channel, the KCTS subcarrier, was then carried to all these places, and that kind of made a mini network. Mm-hmm. And then the next step up from that was Yesterday USA, the internet radio station, which at that time was quite a bit bigger, because it had broadcast.com, which was really an amazing operation. This is kind of the before the bust in all the what do we call that?
Black Monday or whatever that was.
Well, you had all the investment things on in businesses that weren't quite returning. There's lots of money, lots of investment money going into things. Well, these folks decided they'd start basically an internet version of the broadcast band. And they built a robust system that could really do the trick. Well, Yesterday USA was on there on the internet, and they were also on the two C-band satellites. For, I believe it was WOR.
That's
wasn't.
That's an old station.
It wasn't WOR. It was WGN, I believe, and the outdoor channel on the subcarriers.
Oh, I see.
So that was getting around to C-band satellite viewers and listeners. And that was quite a little network in and of itself. And we were on there as well on, I believe it was Sundays, for a number of years. And so it kind of grew from there. And since then, we've put ourselves onto a number of TV stations on a lot of the radio reading services from the International Association of Audio Information Services. And so it just keeps going and going.
So how many outlets do you imagine your signal goes out to?
It's hard to tell right now, Joey, because we stream it on a live on an MP3 stream 24 hours a day. That is four broadcasters. It's a limited affair of 50 streams, but there's various stations coming and going on that that pick it up. And the main ones right now, the television stations, there's we have low-powered FM, LPFM in Bend, Oregon, Bellingham, Washington, Bend, Oregon, of course, television in Boise, Eugene, Houston, Albuquerque, Staten Island, San Bernardino, Hartford, Connecticut, Reading, Pennsylvania, Spokane, Washington, Everett, Tacoma, Kent, and Seattle. Those are all in Washington, San Diego, California, and we're on the alltimeoldies.com theater channel, which is fairly recent. We're streaming on that. And ACB Radio Treasure Trove, it's been on there for a while. And it's also available on upsnap.com. That's the old MyNBN. That's the telephone, cell phone listening service. Wow. And that station, if anybody is on there, that's station number 1381, so 1381. another way to listen to things. And, of course, it's streamed from our site, too, renonline.org.
And I'll put that up on the text chat in a little bit as well, just so everybody has it on their recording. REN schedule, how do you go about deciding what to play? I know some of your show blocks are, you know, you have Westerns in this block, and how do you come up with that? Do you have a committee? You throw pins at a map?
Well, it's a small operation. It's mainly just a couple of us, and largely me. And so you make a choice based on what programs are popular, and because of all this OTR material is largely, it depends on the sound quality. Let's just cut to the chase. It depends on what kind of quality you've got. There's lots of excellent shows out there that I can never play because we are on television stations a lot of the time, and we have to keep some kind of broadcast quality. Now, granted, those of you that have heard REN may be smiling right now. But our version of broadcast quality is something that we can pass over a FM quality signal as old time radio. So we're not talking about 2020 low noise floor like you'd normally expect if you were listening to HD radio or your local FM station. But it's our signal is listenable. We'll put it that way. So we have our choices. We have our 28 hours. And that comes out to 4 hours a day, 7 days a week, of course. And right now, the schedule is basically made up of programs that are popular and that we have enough quantity of the material. And we tend to, in the issue of the broadcast quality, depending on the type of show and the value of the show, we can dip that down. I mean, we will run something on something different, for example, which is a program that features some news and special events and things. A lot of that is not really high quality sound, so we will go lower quality on that program because of the importance of the material involved. But if it's a conventional show, we'll try and get as the best quality we can with this.
So do you stay away from the shadow?
No, we have the shadow on Sundays.
Okay. I mean, because that's always been one of the ones that is heavy copyright.
Right.
That we all know as a copyright.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you get the shows from?
The original collection, well, I had my own collection, which, like most guys who got involved in this stuff, we, you know, get bowled over by local radio stations playing stuff. And in my case, there was a show called Theater of the Mind on a local radio station. And they just played some old-time radio every night so the DJ could have dinner. And then the overnight guy, they played it again in the middle of the morning so the guy could have lunch. But it was great for me and four or five other people that liked this thing. Uh-huh. So we'd record it on the cheapest cassette tape we could get, and usually 120s. Uh-huh. Well, now you go back over your collection later, and man, did I listen to that stuff?
If
it plays.
So, but you didn't listen to it originally.
Oh, yeah. I listened to it. Well, not on the air originally.
Yeah.
No. Just a little bit younger. I was born in 57, so while technically I could have listened to it, I was either too young or occupied with television. Shame on me.
So you're a convert.
Yeah, I'm a convert. First to radio and then in broadcasting and then basically deciding, well, you know, this is something that should be represented on radio now. And not just in the Museum of Broadcasting, it should be there for people to hear. And, you know, granted, it's never going to be the American Idol of the radio, but or even Major Bowes anymore. But it will. But there's a portion of the audience that does like this. It is certainly different in an age of homogenized broadcasts, where you get 700 copies of the same program in every market. This is different, and it's kind of, and of the areas that could be on the air, of the things that are categories of difference, this one is kind of a big category. There's, in other words, there's lots of people who like drama or could find something of value in the variety of dramas we have versus something that's even more esoteric, so you get too small an audience.
Yeah.
But yeah. I did skip over part of your question. I did acquire a large a collection of programs or bought them from AM Treasures years ago. And then we did scour around.
Was it on cassette rather than reel-to-reel?
That was all on reel-to-reel.
Oh, okay.
And pretty good quality sound. Then we did get some cassettes later, did a lot of trades, worked up deals. You know the racket, you guys out there. So after a while, you can get a collection going, and contacted all the network people to try and see what we could get from them and if they could release it. And oh man, we got a lot. The clubs, various club relationships, and we've had stuff come that way. So it's a large collection now.
Mostly, you've been with reps. You haven't done any switching with Spurdvac with their collection, have you?
We did do some. I contacted them a number of years ago, but not a lot there. But mainly because we're in Seattle. That was a bit difficult. And there are now a lot of cassettes, and there are a lot of CDAs, audio CDs that we have. We do have MP3s. We're not using those now because the signal is encoded. Mm-hmm. When it leaves us, I'm trying to avoid too much compression. Start to get the artifacts. And
some of those MP3s do sound a little wobbly. You can hear the wobble in it, which kind of distracts me.
Right, and the sound quality varies a lot, although I'm not saying, some of our producers do use MP3s, but I try to get them to use the less compressed files and something a little bit better quality sound.
Yeah, they call it high quality encodings or something.
Mm-hmm.
They get really technical. I like MP3, but it does have its problems.
Well, if you can select something about the right, and we don't go below 128.
Yeah.
That's as low as we'll go. And that's what the signal released from REN out to its sources. Everything goes out as 128.
So I know that that you've always been interested in having newer drama shows, radio shows, if it matches the quality of the old-time radio shows.
I wouldn't be that particular, that if it matches the qualities.
It's always sounded that way.
We are particular, Joe. You know I push. the thing with today is that what can we say? It's like you're going backwards, the salad days of radio. You have to start all over again. Back in the days that we're talking about, in the golden days, the 40s and the 50s, you had an unlimited budget. You had Hollywood, New York, Chicago's best. You had the best corporations, the biggest ones, pumping money into this thing. You had people like RCA and Westinghouse and those making sure that everything worked right. I mean, it was capitalism with a capital C. Mm-hmm. And so it would be hard to match that. And we could realize that it would be a very tough job to match that. You have people from movie actors and so forth doing these parts. But today, we're realistic. We're in another century here, and radio has changed totally.
Reinventing itself.
Yeah, hopefully. And so what we need is good, competent stories that people can understand, where the acting is executed competently. Mm-hmm. And, you don't expect to have the orchestra there and all the top-flight bells and whistles. But certainly we want something that people can understand, can appreciate, and where the technical flaws don't distract you from the story.
Sure.
That's it. And a lot of radio, a lot of drama now, when I listen to it, I'm thinking about the production more than I'm thinking about the story.
About the story, sure.
There's just sometimes people will try to make a movie soundtrack.
Yeah.
For example, and you've got all that music going on, and the story's lost in the noise.
Yeah.
And sometimes the sound effects isn't there, or it's too much there.
And that really is a problem with modern radio. And I think it's because a lot of modern radio producers think the old-time radio stuff isn't any good. However, that's on the other side of the... that's a whole nother discussion.
Everybody has their perspective.
Talk a little bit about your schedule. I know you're just getting ready to change it.
Right. Well, what we're going to do now, Joy, is we're going to try and experiment with thematic scheduling.
Mm-hmm.
And this will be the first time we've really done this. The idea for this is that because we have gone so far away from the old days, there's not a lot of name familiarity with the series themselves, unless you're an OTR collector. Everybody out there, I mean, you guys are just as familiar with these names here. If we threw out Phil Harris and Alice Faye, for example, as they would be with American Idol, but the average person out there who is not a radio fan, these are just two people's names, and they don't mean anything anymore. So what we're trying to do with this is to bring the uninitiated, if you will, because we're largely on television now, talking to non-collectors. So we'll bring the uninitiated in to our broadcasts on a thematic basis. So what we're thinking about doing is strip scheduling Monday through Friday broadcasts in the first hour with suspense, which has always been there, and you know, it's the best as far as I'm concerned. A good solid program. And then the second one is a weekday random play, and as you would imagine, that's variety. To add the necessary variety here, we can put anything into those.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the second part of the first hour, Monday through Friday. Then on Mondays, we will have mysteries with, and you know, we can argue a little bit about how these things fit in the category, but.
Mysteries versus police procedurals versus...
Right, to get really right down to the nuts and bolts. But we're calling for the sake of mysteries, we're calling the Whistler Sherlock Holmes, and I know X-1 may not go over too well, but an Inner Sanctum. And then we're following up 5 days a week with Jack Benny in the top of the fourth hour, and then Lum and Abner, which here are interconnected episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea behind this, of course, is that hopefully people will get locked into the storyline and come and visit us every day, at least for the weekdays. And then the Johnny Dollar of five parts, which we've never been able to use previously because quarter hours are kind of hard to schedule.
Mm-hmm.
But in this format, it'll work. So we'll have that as the last part of the fourth hour. And then on Tuesdays, we'll have detectives. So that'll be with the start of the second hour, Dragnet, Tales of the Texas Rangers, Philip Marlowe, and Dangerous Assignment. And Wednesdays, two episodes of Gunsmoke, because we know that does well.
Mm-hmm.
And Lone Ranger and Have Gun Will Travel. Of course, that's Western Wednesday. Western Wednesday. And on drama, we're going to do that on Thursdays. It'll be Night Beat, Screen Director's Playhouse. And the REN Playhouse is kind of a shell. I should explain that. A shell in our situation is that there's lots of orphan programs. In our situation here...
Kind of one-offs.
They're one-offs that are very good, or they're parts of series where we might have a couple of episodes that are airable, but most of them are not.
Mm-hmm.
So if we do, when we do series like this, we can't just use the whole series anymore, and these shows are orphans. So this allows us to basically use all kinds of things that fit a category.
Mm-hmm.
And the REN Playhouse, of course. If you think about Armed Forces Radio,
mm-hmm.
basically like that, you'd have, what did they call Inner Sanctum? They didn't call it the Creaking Door, did they? Or
I wasn't
good on this stuff. But they had their own name for these programs. And they just kind of put in what they wanted because they had limited time and they had a lot to pick from.
Right, right.
So that's what we're doing there, and that's why the REN Playhouse is there on drama Thursdays. And then on Comedy Fridays, we're going to do Phil Harris and Alice Faye. We're going to try Maisie. That one we might have to go with an MP3 because that's, for some reason... There's a couple of shows out there for some reason that they're very hard to find anything that's usable on analog tapes or analog sources. That's one of them. So we're going to see where we go with that. Father Knows Best, and we're going to try Amos and Andy. And now this is not a big thing
That's gutsy.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think it's time. And the program itself is a good, solid program. Yes, mm-hmm. some of the characterizations are certainly dated. But the program itself, I think, is pretty solid. And most of the people that listen to it think so.
Pretty funny.
It is a funny, funny show. And it's sorry, you know, we've never been able to really use it. Also, I should explain that REN, being non-commercial, is on stations that are usually run by governments, city channels, mm-hmm. Or they're run by 501Cs, mm-hmm. which tend to be a little on the liberal side. So I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying that,
that
we're
possible.
Taking a chance with this particular program, but I'm hoping that now that we're in another century, and we can look at all this stuff a little, look at it as entertainment.
Well, you'll see if people get upset.
We'll see. And that's what we're going to do with that one.
I think we've done Amos and Andy on the chat room.
Oh.
It was a night that I wasn't able to be there, but I think we did. They did do one.
And how was it received?
It seemed to be fine.
Okay. Yeah, well, I'm hoping nothing will...
I mean, you know, one of the problems that people don't seem to realize is when you have a program like Amos and Andy, mm-hmm. you kind of have to think about the time frame it was broadcast in. And you have to keep the time frame
right.
in mind when you're listening to it.
Well, that's true, Joy.
And a lot of people just can't seem to do that.
Yeah, it's a lot of people can, but some people... It's hard to say. I think there are always people out there who... are looking for a step, you know, to get mm-hmm. launched on, and that's yeah. a convenient step on that particular subject. We've had a lot of trouble. I know I told you before we had a lot of trouble with cigarette ads mm-hmm. For the same reason that I mentioned earlier. The kind of stations we're on, we're in some other English speaking countries too, where cigarettes are frowned on, and there are, in fact, laws that you're not supposed to have any cigarette advertising. And, of course, that's true here in America since 65.
Right.
How I have noticed, though, that on old-time television shows, they will let that go because it's historical and they're not trying to sell the cigarettes. Here, we had to cut that out, so we've been having to edit.
So you've been editing the cigarette commercials out.
Yeah,
difficult to do in Jack Benny.
It's really tough, and that's a conundrum because Jack Benny is so popular. We're always using it, and yet you have your choice between the Jell-O program or the Jack
Chesterfield,
and the American Tobacco Company. And that was the peak period right there.
Yeah,
with their ads. So it means an awful lot of editing to get the Benny show out. But we've had a lot of problems with that, so we kind of had to draw the line at cigarettes. I'm not saying you won't hear. And they occasionally, with 28 hours a week, sometimes you get blurry-eyed and all that sound going by, and something might slip by, but never on a regularly scheduled program like, say, the Jack Benny Show. Might slip by you take a participating ad like Have Gun Will Travel or something is late in the period, and you don't really know what's coming next. It might be an X-Lax commercial. It might be the cigarette ad or something else.
Yeah. You know, and I know all of the Armed Forces Radio Service took out the ads.
Right.
Which, of course, you know, there were some shows like Fibber McGee where it was such an integral part. Of course, they're selling Johnson's Wax. Mm. They're not selling cigarettes. So it's not,
well, you never hear from them. Yeah, you might not hear the novelty song in there. Although that they had usually a straight read in that one for the ad and a mention of cowcatcher, whatchamacallit there, but they did have the funny integrated ad. Mm-hmm. It's certainly the case with Jack Benny. You might not hear much of the Sportsman at all in that, because it's always going to be edited out, and there's usually a cute routine or two around
that
sponsor.
Yeah,
they gave them their bang for their buck on that.
Right.
Well, we let me do Saturdays and Sundays, too, while we're at this. So we're back to the schedule, folks. Saturday, we're going to break with the thematic stuff and do Cavalcade of America, Bob Hope, and Spurvac program, and Radio Remembered, and Abbott and Costello and Gildersleeve. And on Sundays, we're going to do Bing Crosby, You Bet Your Life, Treasures Old and New from Art, which folks.
My guys.
Your guys. And you'll hear some of that new drama in there, so listen. And Reps Presents and Armis Brooks, and we're going to try Dad's Army.
So this new schedule is enlisting communications within three major old-time radio organizations.
Mm-hmm.
Well, two major organizations and my group of performers.
No, you're making waves. You're going there.
But this is kind of a first time for SpurredVac.
Right. I contacted SpurredVac to see if they would be interested in doing this. I know they were doing something with Yesterday USA, and we have a different channel than they do. As I alluded to earlier, we're on a lot of television, and we're going to be on some LPFMs. So you're talking to a different audience when you're on REN. And so it's a chance to kind of tell the general public what radio collecting's about, or about the hobby itself. And I wanted to do that, too, because after all, we wouldn't have anything to play here. Just be sitting there like this for hours and hours. Or you'd actually hear me as a DJ, and you don't want that, folks. You don't believe me. So thank you, the club members and the collectors out there that have made this stuff available. And we want to, hopefully we'll steer some people into membership.
Because I know Reps has been quite a piece of your schedule for a long time.
Yeah, they've been on for quite a while. Of course, you know, I owe Reps a lot. They have supplied us with a lot of programs.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a furnace, folks. You just you put your shovel into the tapes and you shovel them into the fire. You can't use the programs over and over too much. So you've got to have a lot of radio shows, and you got to have them in series. So mm-hmm. Thanks to Reps and its members and people and extended family and everybody else who can dig this stuff up and steer it our way.
Some of that was coming from individual collectors.
Yes. There's a number of individual collectors that we can tap for materials.
Robert Just put up here, do you still air Boston Blackie?
Let's see, where are we? We are airing Boston Blackie now. Does Robert mean in the new schedule, or?
Well, it says, do you still air Boston Blackie? So, I mean, you're clearly doing it now.
But I am doing it now.
And in the future.
Well, we may. On these things, Robert, we're going to keep with the thematic schedule if things work out. We'll keep with that for a while, and we'll rotate some programs in and out of that schedule that are appropriate for the day. And we're doing Boston Blackie at this point, and seems to me it is on Saturday in the second hour is what's going on right now. So, but some of these programs we need to give a rest to, because we've done the great shows, but there's only so many of them, and we've repeated them over and over and over again. So we'll take some of them off, like Crime Classics. I like to listen to that,
mm-hmm.
and believe me, I've heard a lot. But some programs you'll actually sit down and listen to, and we're going to give that a rest. We're going to give a number of programs a rest. So some of your favorite shows may be going off temporarily, but we still have the
vacation.
They're going on vacation for a long vacation. And we have the random play segment that we'll be doing at the second part of the first hour, Monday through Friday, and we could put some of those back in there too.
Okay. Well, I think at this point that's all of my prepared questions.
Okay.
I've always found your support for the newer radio stuff that ART is involved in, as well as bringing the old shows back to life, being able to have an outlet for that has meant a lot for my organization.
Well, let me tell you, art means a lot to us and our future, because I've mentioned it to you before, part of the problem here, if you will, is that when you're locked into the past, is that the past keeps going further and further away. And your listeners become kind of disassociated with what's going on. And things as simple as telephones, they don't sound the way they used to. Automobiles and planes, Those big steam engines are not there anymore. People don't necessarily travel by train everywhere. So it becomes harder for folks that are not in the club. I mean, now I speak of the club and the collecting community, or have a basic nostalgia frame of mind to connect with our drama. And I would dearly love to have new material which has relevance to today, so we can bring people in and sit them down. In the end, even though we're non-commercial, we still need heads and ears out there listening to this stuff, or the stations, at least on one level, the stations will say, we got something else we can do with that time. Mm-hmm. And believe me, folks, we're asking for a lot of time from these folks. So the new dramas are relevant. We love them. We want more. So, Joy, we get on to that, please.
Yes, sir. When does the new schedule start, now that you've got Spurdvac online?
Well, we're hoping to get it going in about a month, and it takes a while to try and get the organization set up. Technically, what we do here, we're a recorded network, basically, and we have a lead time of a month to a month and 2 weeks, so we're way out ahead. And things are recorded in Seattle in our studio. Then they're burnt to discs. Then they break off into two segments. Some go directly to stations as discs every week and are played off on their schedule. Some go onto our internet feed from Tulsa, Oklahoma, and are fed directly to the other TV and radio stations. Some are sent off to radio reading services to be played whenever. Some get shortwaved around the world, whenever the time is available. So, and they get interneted whenever. So it's kind of hard to pin down exact times. What we do here is we kind of set a reference time and try to get everybody on the same page. We're shooting for about a month.
Because I know in December you run a Christmas,
yes,
a Christmas show. And I know from previous experience that ART has to have its portion of it to you by the end of October,
mm-hmm,
because of that lead time need, and it's going out the last week of December.
Yeah, I'm about time people are having Thanksgiving, I'm celebrating Christmas. So it's all rather confusing, but yes.
So are you planning to do some of similar specials sometime?
Yes, we'd like to do a lot more specials.
Like Easter or 4th of July, or, you know?
Something that we can support with programs, but yeah, it's something that would make sense to celebrate as a scheduled program. But, yeah, it, you know, in the past we didn't even try for Christmas, and the listeners would just put up a row. Mm-hmm. Now, of course. I mean, here you are like a jukebox.
Happy presents, and you want an old-time radio show.
Exactly, and the 25th comes along, we're still murdering people on the radio there with all our crime shows, and so they're complaining, and rightly so, but it was just a moral, it wasn't that the spirit wasn't there, we'd love to do it, it's just that we couldn't get basically get our act together with all these desperate parts.
Sure.
There it requires, you pointed out, it requires a little organization to try and get everybody set to go the week before Christmas and run it. And now we, at least the last couple of years, we're doing the Christmas. And we're slowly coming around. We'll do some more things, maybe the Valentine's Day, do some theme, it work in with the thematic stuff.
Yeah, okay. Kevin asks, why can't you run cigarette commercials if you announce prior and after the show that they're in there for strictly documentary purposes, and that the Surgeon General needs to let you know that cigarette smoking is bad for your health? When I used to run my old-time radio show on two commercial stations and one public radio station in Colorado Springs, Colorado, I was able to play the shows intact, and that's what I did to leave the cigarette commercials in.
Well, I wonder, Kevin, how is there any way to know how long ago you did the program? Was that?
I think it's about this time. I'll let the key up, and we'll have questions.
Okay.
Alt-L.
Yeah, okay, Jim, it's Robert here in Toronto. You called me one night in response to a call that I left you, and I was just going to ask the same question. Do you still have those disclaimers at the end of your programming block to the effect that ads on REN are there for historical purposes only, and that you do not either endorse or condemn the products being advertised. Do you still run those disclaimers on your programming?
Okay. I ran my shows in 1980 to 1986 on a public radio station, and then I ran it on two commercial stations from 1986 to 1988. And I mean, I guess I can't quite figure out why you couldn't do that unless the radio stations that you're on just say, no, we're not going to, you can't advertise cigarettes, no matter whether they're, you know, whether the commercials are there for documentary purposes or not. I know you're going to have a lot of editing to do, because when I was running my show at the public radio station, they wanted me to chop the commercials out, and I refused. I'm a purist when it comes to that sort of thing. So that's the answer to your question. It was in the about 10 years I did the show, from March of 1980 until the first of January, the first part of January of 1989. That I never brought the show back after that, because John and Larry Gassman and I, we were all corresponding at the time, and apparently there's copyright laws that are renewed that if you don't have permission to play a show, then you could be that it could create a problem. So I just never brought the show back. So there's the answer to your question.
Okay. I guess what I would say about that is that 1980 to 89, if you've been following the news, things have really gotten a lot hotter. The 90s, they've really ratcheted up the war against smoke. And I know, I mean, folks, I'm a cigar smoker right here. Tonight, I will imbibe after I leave to celebrate this occasion of talking with you tonight. But no, it's gotten a lot more hostile. And the more, I guess it's also, I want to say, things scale up if you have a lot of stations that are playing this. So we're kind of one big convenient target now, because we're on a lot of stations and in some cities where people are extra sensitive to this kind of thing. What happens is that the, like in your situation, the radio station or TV station will contact you and say, we've got to have it edited. We can't run this on our station. And in the past, we did do, as was pointed out earlier, we did run those disclaimers, but at a certain point, it became ineffective. You're getting to the point where you would lose a big market. We need to have stations in larger cities. The small towns and medium-sized places are fine. I mean, they're fine with it. They don't complain. They love the program. And they like the old music, too. But some of the larger cities say, hey, you know, it's going to be the difference between whether you're on or off. You've got to edit. So it just became, after 2000, there's not a lot of choice. Now, I've been toying with the idea of trying to slip some stuff in and see, but, you know, this happened down in... Well, I should say with the Radio Reading Service, but I say REN has been with that, doing that for years. Well, we were on the New Zealand, we're on it now, the New Zealand Radio Reading Service from Levin, New Zealand, and they broadcast, I think they're on shortwave, they're on medium wave, and they might even be on FM, and they're on the internet, and they have a big reach, and they reach in, you know, all the way into, on shortwave anyway, into Australia. Mm-hmm. But they have a regular large audience for this kind of stuff, and... They were actually, I've got to be careful what I say here, but there was legal action taken against them for running our program because of the cigarette ads. It was a serious problem. So we were getting to that point where we have to do something. And yes, it's a lot of editing. We have many disc machines and we're using it a lot. I love the idea of the purist. I like it myself. But there's some stuff we just got to watch.
So, Robert's question, do you remember what that one was?
About the disclaimer?
No, that's Kevin's.
Oh.
Well, Larry wants to talk. I'll let Larry talk.
You know, hang on a second. Jaws is going to drive me nuts here, so we're turning it down. We are going to put a disclaimer on Jaws and ask Jaws to shut up, and it's down now. So it's my fault for not changing the settings earlier. In any event, and I'll do this really quickly because we've been talking about this for a little while, we were asked to stay away from cigarette commercials, And that's pretty much it. And this is like from 1980 to 2002. And finally, we said, okay, that's fine. Number one, it was cool because in a two-hour show, if you take out the cigarette commercials, it gives you a little more time if you need to talk. And it shortened the show just by a little bit. So we really didn't have a big problem with that. I'd like to have done all cigarette commercials, but it wasn't a big deal because cigarette commercials were pretty much banned on radio, commercial radio anyway. We were on KPCC in Pasadena. We were also on two stations up north, and we were on Yesterday USA for a while. And the two stations up north were programmed by one program director. It was a fairly small public radio station that had a couple of stations, and they simulcast the same material. They did ask us if we would not play shows like Amos and Andy and a few other shows because listeners got ticked because of the subject matter, etc., and they didn't think it was politically correct. And we talked them out of it. We said, no, we'll go along with you with regard to the cigarette commercial, but we're not going to stand for not being able to play Amos and Andy. And I think there were a couple of other shows they wanted to do. And we talked about it for a while, and finally we won, and we played Amos and Andy. But in terms from a cigarette perspective, yeah, we after we were asked not to play them, we said, okay, that's fine, not a big deal. So that's kind of what our particular scenario was.
Yeah, I was the one that was asking about the disclaimers on REN.
Oh, okay.
Oh, the disclaimers. Well, they were repeated quite often. I think at that time we had them every hour. And it became just a matter of being repetitious. They're run occasionally in the broadcasts, I think no more than five times a week now. At earlier days when we were on radio reading services, they were sensitive, it seems to me, it's been a long time ago, they were sensitive about advertising in general. And so we ran the disclaimers to make sure that they knew that this was a nonprofit operation. So we don't feel that it's that important to do it right now, disclaimers. If it does crop up as a problem, we can reintroduce those.
So Rob wanted to know, how did the radio reading services receive your programming?
In a technical sense or popular?
I think
popular?
You know, on mini disc or CD, or I think we're talking
right.
Mechanized.
Okay. Basically, they would be the ones to receive it as a disc. And how that works is that they send us...
As a CD.
They send us a blank CDR, and it arrives in our setup. It's just we have files for all the stations that want to do it. It's free to any station. And by the way, if anybody out there has a local reading service or has a local LP station or a TV channel, that like a public access channel that you think might be interested in this content, the REN program, they can get in touch with me. Joy can get that information through later. They can get in touch with us, and we will send it to them free of charge. The program is free to any broadcaster that wants to use it, non-commercially, of course. But no, these programs are made fresh, if you will, every week, and put in the queue. Then we have our own duplicating facilities here, so high-speed tower duplicators, and they're buzzed off on the discs. It's MP3 128 stereo. And then they head on out in the USPS for various radio reading services, who then play them according to the scheduled date. It's not that important. These are all scheduled. All the programs are scheduled with a date and a fly time for the program, but, you know, in the real world...
They play them when they play them,
and sometimes they play parts of them when they want to play them. There's only so much control we can have over that. What we can control better is the television stations and the internet station, particularly the theater channel and so forth, because we actually, I don't run it personally, but the person that does run it is in constant communications with me. So.
So do you use mini discs, Sue?
We use the MD discs for production.
Oh, for production.
The way that works is most of our sources are analog. I'm trying to get the best sound as possible. So typically, let's just go through a channel. Let's say the suspense. Okay, the suspense would be on a 7-inch open reel, for example. So that goes up onto the Otari 5050B MX2. It's a big reel-to-reel, the radio station type. And then that comes into a Behringer mixer, a 30-band graphic, and we'll kind of take out all the distortions, kind of level things off, roll off the tops and bottoms so we get a fairly good quality sound. And that will go into a parametric mixer to kind of peak for sound quality on the voices and take out some of the buzzes and hums if there are any present. And that will go into our the present mixer we're using here is a Tascam M35. It's got an old type technology, but in fact that's going to go offline here in a week. We're going to have a Behringer Eurodesk 9000 coming in there to replace that. But so she'll come down in there through a channel, and then it's mixed to one of eight buses, and then that goes to one of eight mini discs right now. And the programs are recorded as separate files, so continuity and everything is, for that hour, is recorded on one mini disc at the end of the hour, and it's marked hour one.
It's usually a mini disc is 80 minutes.
Right.
Max.
And we only need 60 of those minutes.
Yeah.
And the beautiful thing about the mini disc in the pre-computer situation here is that they were designed for broadcasters originally, and they're still, and that's about the only people that ever really like them and use them.
Well,
you're kind of doing this stuff too.
Yeah, I guess.
But the beauty of these mini discs, besides their nice quality sound, is that their automation is excellent. And they have the chasing technology so that when the next thing's in the pre-programmed queue, it loads up digitally while the last program is playing. So you've got that little bit of space there, and it's a seamless break between the audio tracks. So even though the hour one mini disc has got maybe 25 items on it, it's just seamless, and that then is fed off into right now a TDK encoder. We have a Marantz encoder. It's a CDR 420 that's just gonna take that job over here in a week, and we're still working on the computer system that would do it a lot faster. We're trying to make Traction work. Nothing wrong with that. We're going to go. Traction's a good program, but it's a music program. We're trying to adapt it to do this. There's a new version of it coming out, so we'll get that. We'll eventually do this all on a computer and do it much quicker. And I'm going to get out of the studio a lot quicker. And we're all happy, right? So that's basically it. Then it goes on to the. It is made into a master, and then that master is duplicated in the tower, and then it's sent out. Direct to some stations, and the other stations get it. They get over the stream. Those discs go to Tulsa, where they're fed back over our channel, our broadcast feed channel, and then that's pulled off by the TV stations, by Roku sound bridges and computers, and various items. Anyway, it works.
Here's Bob Acosta.
Hey, you guys, you're doing fabulous. Jim, I want to thank you very, very much for all the great work that you're doing. There's indeed a lot of work in doing these things. My friend Rob works at a radio reading service out of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and I hope that they'll include REN here. This is just great. I hear you a lot on Treasure Trove. I wanted to ask Jim, do you work with first-generation radio archives for discs out of your own state there, because they are digitally mastered and you really get some good quality? I know you said you didn't like MP3s. Well, they don't deal with them either, I don't think.
Oh, Bob, yeah. First generation, I did send them some
electric. Harlan Zink's outfit.
Yeah, yeah, and I gave I sent Harlan a bunch of ETs that we had. And I really can't. I've got an ET table, but it's thumps. And
ETs are.
Although electrical transcriptions, yeah. These are big records. What were they? 16
inches. Yeah.
Yeah. When you move them in your hand like this, they kind of wave and they womp womp. Really amazing records. But and believe it or not, they could only get 30 minutes aside in that in the old days. But if at any rate, I sent that stuff down to Harlan, and he did that. Did the cedar and the diamond cut and all that on it. I got back. Just CDs of the recordings, because the thing is that first generation, of course, you know, they're
it's a business.
It's a business, right?
A business. It's not a non-profit. It's a for-profit business.
And I can't. We couldn't run their material. It would just be, you know, using up their material or giving it away, and they've cut them out of their thing. They want to sell it. So that's the reason why we don't do anything with them. But you know, maybe a show at some point where they want to promote some of their material. that might be possible. And as far as the radio reading services go, Bob, yeah, that stuff is, if they want to run that, and they're REN, I'm talking about, if they want to run REN programs, it's available to any radio reading service, and it's even available right now as a download from, if that station is a member of the, I want to get this right now. I think it's the International Association of Audio Information Services. And a lot of radio reading services are that. And there's a download site that they maintain, and REN is there every week with, I believe, 12 hours of material. I think they have 12 hours of material on there now. So the station possibly could put it on any, you know, tomorrow if they wanted to. If they don't have that, all they have to do is get in touch with me in Seattle here, P.O. Box 51161, Seattle, Washington, 98115, REN. And we will be glad to get things going with them and share the faith of old-time radio far and wide.
Robert Just is up next.
Okay, thank you very much, Joy. Jim, I almost called you Bob there. I was wondering about listener feedback. What are you getting in the way of listener feedback now? And when you make these changes in about a month, will you be, in fact, encouraging listener feedback?
Well, Robert, we don't hear a lot of listener feedback, and I think that's largely because it's not easy to get. It's just not easy to get in touch with us unless you go to the website, renonline.org, and then there's some emails down there. But it's most people, I think, like I say, it's the audience is, I would say, almost all by numbers. It's almost all just the general public. And it's just another radio signal to them. So there's not a lot of passion to get in touch with us. What I do hear from people, it's usually either folks who've just discovered old time radio and they want to send us money, to which is great, to keep the thing going. They're just happy to have it on the air, anything, any old-time radio at all, because they're just discovering this stuff, Oasis and all the news, talk, sports, music out there. And the OTR collectors, and that's the other group we hear from, and then, of course, those guys are all pretty educated on it. They let us know when they don't like something. I do know about that. And as far as the news schedule goes, yeah, I'd like to, hear what the feelings are on it. I think that whatever we hear, we're not going to change it right away, you know, if it's a negative thing, because we want to give this, it takes a while for this format to establish itself, and we want to give the thematic approach a chance to settle in and establish itself. So I know some people are going to get, we're always disappointing some folks, because you play stuff by series, and they say, well, you know, you never change, you know, it's always the same. Well, that's true. But when you think about this, we're just one source. The REN is just the one source. And you could kind of juxtapose this REN kind of content against everybody else, because everybody else is doing variety. And if you go to OTR Now or any of those other people, you get all kinds of choice, variety. And then you come back here and you get your old standards. You know, you hear your Jack Benny every day or whatever. And it kind of makes a good thing. And granted, you had to click around a little bit. But... we can't please everybody all the time, I guess is what I'm trying to say, but I do want to hear listener feedback.
So give your the address, the REN address.
Yes, it is www.renonline.org, and it will eventually get to me. There's another webmaster there that does all that. I will get it.
The snail mailbox.
That is P.O. Box 51161, Seattle, Washington, S-E-A-T-T-L-E, Washington, 98115. And of course, it's REN is where you should address it.
I'm going to put that up on the text chat here when I release the key. Over to you, Bob.
Jim, we want to thank you and Joy so very much for this terrific interview. Just for Jim's information, we archive these on our website, radiooutofthepast.org, so the whole world will see it, because we get a lot of hits on the website, and they can download it leisurely. This is just classic old-time radio. This is wonderful. And never apologize for not knowing enough about old-time radio. I don't either. I enjoy it. I love it. and I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for bringing it to us. You guys are just absolutely terrific.
Thank you. Well, thank you, Bob. We really appreciate your having me on here, and thank Joy here for inviting me. Thanks, Joy. And anytime, anytime at all. And I hope you guys have a lot of fun with this. We do remember, by the way, doing a promotion sometime back.
Yeah, we did a promotion for one of the symposiums.
Oh, okay.
Which actually ended up developing into this particular chat room.
That oh.
They gathered together to start doing the symposiums, and then the chat room idea grew out of that. And so now we have our own website, which is radioutofthepast.org.
Okay.
And so you get into the chat room through the website.
Well, if you're going to do a symposium sometime in the future and want to do a little promotion, then send the stuff over here and we'll give it another try.
Yeah, sure.
I'm glad to do that.
You bet.
Well, thanks everybody for having me.
Before you guys get away, want to know, I'm moved here to the Pittsburgh area. Actually, I'm northwest of Pittsburgh, and is there anyone around our area that would carry your show?
Kevin, the reading service does. I know that. I mean, I have that on paper. I don't have any details. I'm sorry. Don't know when or where. But they do have the information that they're on there. I think we've contacted their public access TV in there. I don't know if they came. I don't think so. But if you, like I said before, this program is free to any broadcaster or any webcaster that has a large audience. We will. That's also LPFM out there. If anybody wants us to put it on, all they have to do is contact the station and have them get in touch with me at that web address or the P.O. box, and we'll get things going. We'll gladly supply your local station there with programming. Otherwise, Kevin, I would suggest going to alltimeoldies.com. I guess I don't know if I mentioned www.alltimeoldies.com. And the theater channel is there. And, of course, there's a link on renonline.org up there somewhere. Hit the box, and it'll take you over to 24/7 REN on that circuit.
Okay. Thank you so much, Jim. We're going to let you get away now. And, and there's also acbradio.org, Treasure Trove. There are many places where you can hear REN. But he gave us the alltimeoldies.com is one I hadn't heard of, so that's just great.